everyone out there who is opposed to deer hunting, or hunting in general, I guess, should take a ride on the New York State Thruway this time of year. There are so many deer that have been hit by cars in the road, near the road, vultures everywhere. Y'all don't understand what it's like. I feel like city people are the people who don't like hunting. Like, I know people who don't want to go hunting. And I know people, including my wife, that don't want to eat venison or rabbit. I think that's her list. But I don't know anybody who's anti-hunting. I think all of you live in cities. All you anti-hunting people live in cities and don't understand what the heck you're talking about. So anyway, so today's snack was Stewart's chocolate chip cookies. Have you, all right, so some of you aren't blessed to live in upstate New York, particularly, I guess, Saratoga County, but in also the surrounding area. We have Stewart's shops. I think I talked about Stewart's before. Stewart's is like, if you can imagine like a gas station or a 7-Eleven that was good, it would be Stewart's. So they've got like some of the usual gas station-y stuff, but then they also have like, they make their own soda, they make their own ice cream. They're kind of famous for the ice cream, but they make their own ice cream. And they also, I don't know if they make these cookies or if they, and I don't know how they do it. They're the best chocolate chip cookies on the planet. They're tiny. They're about a little bit bigger than a quarter. And you get a box of them, like 10 of them for, I don't know, 10, 15 of them maybe, for 99 cents. Unbeatable. It's the best, like, kid pacifier on the planet. If I'm going somewhere with the kids, I can go and run in there and grab one of those, grab myself a cup of coffee. They also have really good coffee. Get myself a cup of coffee and a box of the Stewart's cookies, split it up four ways, and whatever's left over, I get it. So they got to do math, and then they get cookies, and they're all happy. Everybody's happy with that. Neat, like, you know, whatever. Three little bites of nothing. Or four. Amazing. So I get the, I guess that's not a universal gas station snack, but man, that is the best. So good. Well, there's another deer. You guys don't understand how this works. Out here in the country, where there's deer every 5 feet, and they all want to cross the road at 2 o'clock in the morning when the tractor-trailer trucks are coming through. Anyway. So the left has now completely lost its mind, and I think we all should have heeded the wide words of advice from Jesse Kelly. I believe he's a former combat marine, Iraq, possibly Afghanistan, but I think just Iraq, and I think he ran for Congress, but I don't know where. And he became famous for that. He's very sharp, very quick-witted, very funny. He has a huge social media following. And I believe he's friends with Ed Lattimore, who's been on the podcast. Or at least they're just friends on social media. But Jesse Kelly, top-notch guy. He has this suggestion that's well thought out about divorce in the country to keep the peace, right? So there's no common ground left. The sides are so far apart on every possible issue that the way to do it is to have an amicable divorce. And I think that perhaps we should have listened to him, or maybe we should still listen to him. The left now, I'm not going to talk about the specifics of the border because I'm still holding out hope that Ms. Ross is going to come on and discuss it with us. But like I said, if I can't get her nailed down to a day by tomorrow, what's tomorrow, Thursday? By Friday, I think Friday's episode is going to be about it, because I think it's important to talk about it, and I can't wait forever. So, hopefully Ms. Ross gets back to me. She didn't get back to me once, and we're having some scheduling issues. But anyway, so the law that determines what's going on the border currently was passed in 2002, signed into law by George Bush. George Bush has a wife named Laura. Laura Bush has come out opposed to what goes on at the border. Yeah, it's a law that your husband signed. So you don't like it, you know, you should talk to your husband. You should be talking to your husband. Not America. But she's not. She's talking to America and getting people all riled up. And then there was a lawsuit when Obama was in office. Nothing was done by the Obama administration to change anything. But during the Obama administration, there was a lawsuit. And the end result of the lawsuit was that minor children have to be separated from adults when taken into custody. Which I'm not going to give my opinion on until we find out about Miss Ross coming on the podcast. So, but that was during Obama. So now that Trump's in office, they're circulating pictures from 2014 when Obama was president of children in, well, they say cages. They're not really cages, but anyway, children in cages. And the left is so blindly convinced that Donald Trump is Hitler that they've decided that these pictures from when Obama was president are Trump caging children, specifically brown children, because he's a racist Nazi, which of course he's not, but whatever. The left has lost their minds. So Tom Morello, who you may know of, I don't know, he's the guitarist for Rage Against the Machine. He's actually brilliant. Brilliant musician, Harvard educated guy, and he's developed some of very unique guitar techniques and sounds to make different sounds of electric guitar. Did some really cutting edge stuff that was really good with the band Rage Against the Machine and beyond. But he's been a communist from day one. So Tom Morello was the president of the Communist or Marxist Society at Harvard University, and has, you know, he's a communist. I don't know. I don't think he would deny that for one second or argue that point. I believe that's his professed camp of beliefs. So Tom Morello doesn't like what's going on at the border, also blaming Trump, which I don't know if that's genuine or not. Perhaps he's just doing that because it's politically convenient. I don't believe he's so stupid that he actually thinks it's anything to do with Trump, but regardless, he's calling for an army of young people. Let's get this straight. Let's think about this for a minute. We have a well-known, well-educated communist, and he is calling for an army of young people to attack the border and free the children or something. So I only think that's super relevant to talk about because, you know, army of young people is what communists do. That's what their deal is. Mao Zedong did it. Vietnam, they did it. Cambodia, they did it. Turn young people against their parents, make them communists, make them soldiers, and have them go do horrible things in the name of the greater good. So that's the deal. So when a communist says, let's get an army of young people, it's time your ears should perk up a bit. What? Army? What? Now, I don't think for one second that Tom Morello seriously is going to get off his intellectual rear end and get an army of anything together to do anything at all. I think he's just posturing and virtue signaling. But I also think people listen to him. He's a rock star. He has been true to his set of ideals for a very, very long time. And there are plenty of young people who listen to Tom Morello and think that what he's saying is good and smart and important. And for him to suggest that they get an army of young people together to attack the border, I could 100% see an army of young people forming itself, however small that army might be, on attacking the border. Peter Fonda, washed up, drugged out actor who nobody cares about, made one motorcycle movie and people thought it was great. It wasn't. And somehow rode that off into the sunset. He's suggesting that people go to the actual officers from ICE homes and not take their, he specifically said, don't take their children away from them, just surround the homes to terrify them. What? So that's his suggestion. So we've got the brother of a communist actress, who I guess he may also be a communist, I don't know, suggesting that people go find ICE officers' homes and harass, terrorize them. And you've got Tom Morello wanting to put an army together to attack our own border from within. And you've got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of whacked out leftists cheerleading this bullshit. I'm the worst at turning that off. I apologize. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. I don't want to stop my flow to turn it off now. So I apologize for the ding-ding-ding-ding-ding in your ear. Danny Zucker. Danny Zucker is a Hollywood producer. He was involved in Scary Movie 2 and 3. You know, the pinnacle of cinema. And he's a producer of the television program Modern Family, which, while entertaining, is also clearly a vehicle to introduce alternative lifestyles to America. And he is weighed in on the issue. In Danny Zucker's opinion, like I told you before, all leftists believe they are intellectually and morally superior to you. Danny Zucker says that we, meaning leftists, are smarter and outnumber these racist monsters. That's you. You are the racist monsters. All right, I turned it off. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. So yes, you, who are not a leftist, are a racist monster. And Danny Zucker and his leftist hooligans are smarter than you, and clearly, because they are not racist monsters, morally superior. And this type of language is the type of language that leads to violence. Period. The dehumanization of your political opponents is a key, and then actual calls to violence. When Tom Morello talks about an army of young people, he's not talking about a group of people singing Kumbaya and carrying signs. He's talking about an actual army. He's a communist. He's studied communist theory for his entire life, and he's talking about a communist revolution within the United States of America, beginning its work of destroying everything by attacking the border. Okay? When Danny Zucker dehumanizes everyone who disagrees with him, he's saying it is okay to commit acts of violence against people who disagree with you, because they're monsters. They're not even human beings. They're racist monsters. And Peter Fonda, well, honestly, I'd love to really get into Peter Fonda, but who the hell cares what Peter Fonda says? But nonetheless, these ideas are out there in the public. The idea is out there in the public that ICE officers are evil and should be messed with on an individual, personal basis, including their homes where their wives and children live, and husbands, I suppose. The people who don't agree about open borders and whatever are racist monsters, not human beings, to be dealt with as you see fit. And that the people in the country should form an army to attack the border from the within. And I see all of this, and I watched some of these types of things real time. I watched Democratic Republic of Congo fall real time. I watched Rwanda turn into an absolute orgy of death real time. And I've studied the fall of Vietnam. I've studied the fall of Cambodia. I've studied the fall of China, the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, fascist Italy, how these things happen. The only thing I think stopping this from spilling out at this point into a Rwanda-esque orgy of violence is the economy. The fact that for the most part, most people are doing pretty well. Nobody's missing a meal. And if that were to happen, if it were to become suddenly difficult to care for your family, I think you would see an unbelievable level of violence. I think the left has completely lost their minds, and I think the right obviously is not 100%, but many people on the right are fully capable of defending themselves and their property. and it would get ugly, and it would get ugly quick. So I think maybe it's time to start listening to Jesse Kelly. Two countries, totally separate. Now, the problem with that idea is you would have to have a live and let live agreement. Because Cambodia tried this idea. See, when the Khmer Rouge fell, the United Nations, the Vietnam, a couple other countries were involved in the ouster of the Khmer Rouge. You know, after they killed 1.6 million Cambodians, all the ones who could read. Some of their neighbors decided enough was enough and came to the day, save the day. And the UN brokered sort of this surrendering of power of the Khmer Rouge. Now, to put that in perspective, Pol Pot, who was the architect of the entire thing and was responsible for the death of 1.6 million people, died in his bed under some sort of very loose house arrest where he agreed to stay in one province. Nobody was there to see what was going on. So there was no justice in Cambodia. But the United Nations was dealing with two competing factions for power in that country. And one was the monarchy. So the crown prince was still alive. And the other was an elected businessman who the people supported to run the country. And there were many people also supported the monarchy. And rather than come up with a plan that left both intact, like a British-type system with a monarch figurehead with a budget, and a prime minister, elected prime minister, who actually ran the country, they decided to have two prime ministers. And then, as the prime ministers fought over who would have more power than the other, one of the obvious problems became who controlled the military. And so what they decided to do was give them each their own military. Because what could possibly go wrong? So, they went to war with each other. Thankfully, it was a short war, and the crown prince left the country, and the prime minister took over. So that was that. So my fear in the divorce of the United States of America, if you have an ideological divorce, create two countries and split everyone, let everyone move where they like, is that obviously at that point, then you'd have two countries with two militaries. And my fear would be the leftists deciding that, you know, as they believe that we are less intelligent than they are, and what we need to do is to be colonized so we can be educated and be as smart as they are. And then it would lead to an actual war. I don't know. I don't know, looking at things as they stand right now, that there's an opportunity for the United States of America to end these disagreements without fighting a war. Whether it is a disorganized, Rwanda-esque orgy of violence type civil war, or whether it is an organized military civil war. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. But I don't see, like Jesse Kelly said, I don't see a common ground. There's nothing on the horizon to suggest that we are suddenly going to come together and be able to compromise and be able to work together for a common goal. You know, I talked yesterday about before the Civil War, people were loyal to their state, more so to the country. And that led to people who had no ideological position on slavery, the division of the country, fighting on one side or the other during the Civil War because their loyalty was to their state, not to the country. And what we have today, I believe, is the exact same thing, except it's not the state, it's the ideology. So you have people who are loyal to their ideology, and we'll cheerlead anything that happens from their side and fight against anything happening on the other side. So when you get people who are so dumb, they don't even bother to look anything up, or lazy, whatever the case may be, they don't even bother to know that the current situation on the border is determined by a law passed in 2002 that no one's done anything about for 16 years, and a lawsuit that happened when Obama was president that changed policy on the border to separate minor children from the adults that entered the country with, which I will not give my opinion on. And they think that somehow Trump is responsible for what's happening on the border. And they've completely overplayed what's going on. for their own political advantage. And it's completely short-sighted, because as you ramp up your base in this shark-feeding frenzy of anger against your political opponents, you can't ramp that back down. Once someone decides the people who disagree with them are racist monsters who should be physically beaten and handled with violence, you're not going to back that off later. There's no point coming where people say, you know, people like Tom Morello or Ted Lieu or any of these, like, hyper-exaggerated leftists trying to whip everyone into a frenzy. At no point are they going to come out and go, oh, come on, calm down, everybody, it's okay. They're not going to say that. And even if they did, no one would listen to them, because they're talking to an audience that believes them now. I used to think, and by used to I mean a few years ago, think that what was going to really be the thing that changed the landscape of the United States of America was the inevitable correction of the value of the United States dollar. And I still think that's coming. But I think the thing that's going to end America as we know it is going to be a violent conflict between two ideological camps. I think as the violence ramps up on one side versus the other, it's going to get spiral out of control. And people aren't going to be able to stop it. And I think it's going to be ugly. So this is my call for peace. I think that everyone needs the time to take a deep breath, step back, realize that the people they disagree with are people who disagree with them and not monsters. And I do a little of that too, I guess, to some extent. But I try to call things as they are, right? So I call Tom Morello communist because Tom Morello is a communist. I don't call him that because I want you to go to his house. I don't call him that because I wish any harm on him physically. I don't. I think that it's important to have different views in society being expressed by intelligent people and talked through and thought out and exposed for what they are. I think that's important. I don't want anyone's house surrounded and these vague, don't take their children statements being made with it, which is clearly a threat. Whether it's intended as a threat or not, it's a threat. Excuse me. I'm not trying to be bombastic. I'm not trying to be hyper-exaggerated. I'm not trying to make anyone angry or violent. We need to all take a big deep breath and step back from this whole thing. You gotta learn from the past. You gotta see how these things work. I don't understand communists because I studied communism. I don't know how you can be a communist and not study communism. It makes no sense to me. And then recognize that where human nature makes what they talk about impossible and makes what we know to be historically accurate 100% predictable. And you see it in situations like this, where people on the left are calling for violence. And it's unfortunate, and I don't see an out. I don't see the left backing down. I don't see the left calming down their base. And shooters like the guy that shot Steve Scalise on the congressional baseball team. And I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. I pray that it's not. I pray that I'm wrong. But before it gets out of hand, I think maybe we should really sit down and consider some alternatives that don't include violence. All right, so Friday, if we don't hear from Miss Ross by Friday, Friday will be the podcast about what's going on at the border, which I'd like to do. But if we can get Miss Ross to come and do it with us, then all the better. So listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day today. I really appreciate you tuning in to the podcast. Do me a favor, share this with a friend, a loved one, a spouse. Oh my goodness gracious. There was a state trooper pulled over on the side of the road with his lights on ahead of me. And in New York State, the law is you have to move over. So I moved into the left lane. And he pulled out on the road in front of me. And then he was a few vehicles in front of me. And then a tractor trailer pulled back into the right lane behind him. And then he pulled into the shoulder again and slowed down and let the tractor trailer pass him. And then he came up behind the tractor trailer and then he pulled in behind me. I had stayed in the left lane. So, which is fine, except what he just did was really odd and I couldn't figure out why he did it. So he was in the right lane. He went in back into the shoulder, but kept going about 60 miles an hour, came up around behind the tractor trailer truck and then behind me into the fast lane. And I thought, oh, what'd I do? And then he turned his lights on. And I thought, oh, goodness gracious. Now I'm in for it. And then he pulled back into the right lane behind some white car and pulled that guy over. Whew. I did not need a ticket today. No, sir. Anyway, listen, I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Like I said, please share this with a friend, family member, loved one, enemy, whatever you want to do. I appreciate it. And have a fantastic day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.